All right, we'll continue our media availabilities here at Daytona International Speedway. We are now joined by the United States Air Force Thunderbirds. This will be the 16th consecutive year and 17th overall that the Thunderbirds will perform a flyover ahead of the Great American Race at Daytona International Speedway. The Thunderbirds are comprised of 12 officers along with more than 130 of the Air Force's finest enlisted airmen from across 31 different career fields. The Thunderbirds are a diverse group of individuals who are united, mission-focused, and strive towards an almost unbelievable attention to detail. Thank you all so much for joining us today. I'll start with a few questions and then we'll open it up to the media. This is a historic tradition for the Daytona 500. Talk about what it means to be back today to perform the flyover.
Yeah, we just want to say thank you, like, for the opportunity to be able to do this. It is an absolute honor. So today we are opening our first public appearance for season 2026. This is going to be absolutely epic. It's going to be magical. Everything, we're going to try and make it as loud as possible. We're going to try and be as tight in formation as possible, make everything just absolutely perfect. 250 years of America we're celebrating this year, and we cannot think of a better way to start it off than with the Great American Race. Thank you.
All right, and you guys have had a pretty busy week from taking a ride up in the Goodyear blimp, giving Connor Zilich and John Hunter Nemechek some flights. How special has it been to participate in so many different events this week in the Daytona Beach community?
So upon arrival, we feel home here. It's really special to arrive, to have a team that we've worked with previously that welcomes us so well. We get incredibly excited about this experience from start to finish. The first flyover, upon arrival over the track, followed by flying young drivers with a level of excitement that we know is true and pervasive throughout the driver culture as well. And then as the week just continues to build, our team's excitement rises, and here we are at the culmination today. So it's a lot of work. It's a expression of how hard this team prepares for this very special event, and we hope you all enjoy it.
All right, we will go ahead and open it up to questions for the media. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get a wireless mic to you. Let's start with Ryan and then Greg.
Ryan McGee with ESPN. We were trying to do a TV show here yesterday morning and you guys were blowing our eardrums off. This has happened every year on a Saturday morning. It feels like maybe we're a little lower and faster than normal. Am I gauging this accurately?
So this is the gauge that we want everyone to feel. So it's all about the crowd experience, not just what Daytona 500 offers for over 100,000 fans, but it's also what we look to strive for during our air show season as well. And while we're not necessarily any lower, optically we try to give that illusion, if you will. But not only are we flying low and fast, but the formations are incredibly tight as well. And that's just a representation of not only the unity of the team, but the hard work that we look to put in. And it represents teamwork, just like it does for any of the race teams out here. So it's a perfect match for us to be here with you guys today.
We'll go to Greg.
I felt that yesterday, by the way. Thanks. I was standing on top of the garage and didn't know you were coming. I want to know, they said you got to fly in the blimp. What's it like to go from the high speed, you know, all hell breaking loose, rumbling and all that, to the calmness and slowness of the blimp?
Yeah, I can take that one. I was up in the blimp on Wednesday, and it was the coolest thing. So I'm a public affairs officer by trade. My first F-16 ride was about 2 weeks ago, and then we've been bebopping around Florida ever since. It's an incredible experience, especially as someone who doesn't have a flying background. We're taking off, and then Rath, number 7, is my pilot, and he's like, okay, we're casually going about 300 miles an hour. And I'm like, oh, buddy. So that's great. And then we got up in the blimp. I don't know what I thought it was going to be like, but it was very nice, peaceful. I think it's just incredible to see the precision that both teams execute when there's a lot of parallels between the teams. The Goodyear blimp is huge for, you know, advertising, outreach, making sure they're getting out into the communities and giving back. And we have a lot of parallels with that and what we try to do when we go into communities. So that was cool to connect.
We'll go to Terry.
Terry Sabiston with WNDB, flagship station for the Motor Racing Network. Also a veteran and worked on F-15s for 4 years. Your background, y'all have come from a diverse background. You've flown a lot of different airplanes. Can you tell us how many hours and what kind of planes you've flown?
All right, so I probably have the biggest background. Initially, I flew F-16s for the majority of my career. And then towards the tail end, about 5 years ago, I went through test pilot school. And so through that opportunity, I got to fly 20, 25 different airplanes in a year, ranging from the P-51, the F-15E Strike Eagle, the HU-16, got to land that on the lake. So a lot of cool, unique experiences that I think have helped me become a better pilot and for me to be a technical pilot. And then when I joined this team, that was a whole nother level of technical flying that I have never experienced before. So it's been an incredible experience. Here on the team, we're all combat aviators, all instructor pilots before joining the team. So we all have an incredible background and experience.
We're going to go to John.
One
then.
More person onto that. Raz, do you mind talking about the Raptor demo and all your experiences?
Absolutely. It's good to see you again, sir. And thank you again for your service. Yeah, I flew F-22s for about 8 years, and I was very fortunate. I got to fly with the F-22 demo team, so got a little bit of a taste for this lifestyle and couldn't get enough. But this team is just really special in that it's 135 people, and the culture here is something that I think draws people in. The humble service before self mentality. Everyone's given their personal best to achieve a joint outcome, and I can't imagine seeing that and not wanting to be a part of it. So very grateful to be a part of this team and getting to fly alongside and work alongside these incredible people.
We'll go to John and then Steve and then Claire after that.
John, you'll be fan buzz. So apologies earlier, but I did not catch your call sign, but the gentleman with the four on your chest, when you were talking earlier about the unity, the teamwork, I was curious, what does that look like from your perspective? Because over here in racing, you know, when they're building chemistry between a driver and a crew chief, they may go fishing or they may go to a bar or something like that.
That's a great question. And fishing sounds awesome, and going to a bar also sounds just as fun as well. So we have a motto on our team, and the motto is blind trust. And every single year, it is a brand new team. So as Raz mentioned earlier, we're a team of over 135 strong across 30 different job backgrounds. And so we're just a very small representation of the entire team as a whole. But that blind trust is critical, because without it, there is no show. There's no demonstration, and we don't have the ability to fly close formations, low altitudes at high speeds, which you'll get a little taste of later today. But really where that starts is in training season for us. So it's like the storming, norming, conforming phases of building a team. But we all come from a little bit of a different background. But we are united by service. And we're also united by this desired mission set to recruit, to retain, and most importantly, to inspire. And the only way that we can do that is over the course of a training season, we blind trust but verify. And then we get to the point where we're just at the optimum level of blind trust. And it's like this awesome machine that's humming along through show season. And that's what allows us to get the altitudes lower, the formations closer than 18 inches apart at speeds just under really Mach 1 or the speed of sound, and to give that wow factor so that way no matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is, you come see this show and you're going to be blown away by it. And that's really where that inspiration piece comes from. And I know that there's a lot of parallels to that and NASCAR and the individual teams as they race around the track, and everyone, you have the over 100,000 fans that are watching this awesome spectacle, and that's also something that we strive for as well.
We'll go to Steve.
Steve Schweitzer with Inside the Cup Garage. I was out on the infield road course yesterday morning taking pictures of you guys. Even with a high-speed shutter setting, I have more pictures of blue sky and contrails than I do of your jets. But is there... when you're flying so close in formation, you mentioned 18 inches. I mean, that's almost unbelievable. Do you have any technical assist in the cockpit that warns you if you're about to run into somebody or, you know, something similar to like cruise control or something? What is it that helps you make sure you don't run over the guy next to you?
Oh, we got two pretty good tools in the cockpit with us, and they are both of our eyeballs. So what we're doing the entire time, even though there's a lot of good technology in the jet, so these are combat aircraft that we're flying. These F-16s within 3 days can be converted to go to war if we need them to do that. So there's a lot of good technology that is used for war fighting, but in the way that we fly and do this demo, it is completely with our eyeballs. And so a lot of what we're looking at is just built line of sight that we do, just flying formation. We fly twice a day, 6 days a week. We do that for 3 months just to build this demo into something that even could be seen by the public And when it comes to flying 18 inches away from somebody, what it takes is blind trust. So for that specific maneuver where we get that close, I will fly under my boss's left wing. I'll look up just like this, and I'll be a little bit closer from my head to the ceiling right here. And it's just pure blind trust that when he says he's not going to move, even if I see his wing, it'll kind of move with the bumps of the air. I know he's not going to release stick pressure, change the throttle, things like that. And so, yeah, we just got our eyeballs and a lot of experience, a lot of flying, and that's what it takes to build the demo.
We'll go to Claire and then Deb.
Claire Belang, Dialed In Journal. There have been times I've been out in the garage when you guys fly over, and really the feeling you just about fall to the ground, as does everyone who's out there. People just scream. When you're flying, how do you get the sensation of what you're doing to people? How do you know when, like, that was a real good one? Like, we saw them all. I mean, you can't really see everyone, right? How would you assess that?
As a solo pilot, I have a little bit more freedom to look around when I'm not flying close formation. So you can kind of look down and see the crowd. You can't see expressions. You can't hear the reactions. But you can see, you know, the massive crowd. And that just excites us because we want to put on a good show for everyone and inspire everybody with our performance. But then we'll get some feedback from Seven, our safety observer, and he'll give us some feedback of good crowd reaction, things like that.
So I get the idea to assess that you all go to your hotel rooms at night and look at the video of what you did and people falling to the ground. Do you do that, all of you?
Well, the problem is these guys are so critical of themselves, they don't get to celebrate it enough. And I'm fortunate enough to see how good it actually is. And having been a part of this team for close to a year now, I still get excited about the same thing. So yesterday when Rogue flew over in a practice demo with one of her sneak passes, I literally had an audible exclamation of how excited I was, how awesome it was. And then we get the feedback, of course, from the crowd, which there's no better crowd for us than the Daytona 500. How excited everybody is in the infield, showing up day to day in support of the team. It's a really special place.
All right, we'll go up here to Deb in the front just a second while I get the mic to you.
Deb Williams, Auto Week. How do you become a Thunderbird? Is there an evaluation, a test? How do you make the team? And also, once you've been a Thunderbird and you move on in your career, are you allowed to come back and be a Thunderbird again?
So our application process typically starts in January, and applications for the officers are due at the end of February. We then down select the applications and we invite those applicants out to a semi-finalist trip where they could essentially shadow the jobs that they're interested in, get to know the team more, and then from there, the third round is the finalist trip where we then invite the applicants back to Nellis Air Force Base for a week long, and it's a intense week of interviews with the team, with Boss, Thunderbird One, as well as our 57th Wing Commander. And then from there, the hiring selection actually happens, and the Chief of Staff of the Air Force has the final approval, and that typically happens in June. But each position, all of all the officers on the team, has their own requirements that they must meet. For the pilots, it's slightly different than the support officers, of course. For the pilots specifically, they also have to be instructor pilots in their own right from their original aircrafts, and have at least 750 flying hours from instructor piloting.
Do they have to do any maneuvers, specific maneuvers to show?
So we do have a flying portion of the evaluation. So for example, I was coming from F-35s when I applied to be a Thunderbird, and my very first loop and roll was in the back seat with a current Thunderbird in the front seat. I'd never sat in an F-16 before. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, we're going uphill, pulling 4 Gs upside down, just doing my best to stay in formation It was a wild experience. It turns out the flying is extremely difficult.
Oh, yeah. But do you ever get to come back again if you want to, or is it kind of a one and done deal?
For the officers, it's a little bit different. It's a more of a one and done deal, but we do have a couple enlisted members on our team who were maintainers, boots on the ground beforehand, and now they hold leadership positions as senior NCOs and our chief enlisted manager of the team.
Thank you.
All right, that is all the time we have, so we thank you all for being here with us this morning, and we're certainly looking forward to the flyover this afternoon.